the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
You are a mother of what?
Two boys.
Two boys.
And I have two grandbabies.
Boys, a boy and a girl?
A boy and a girl. Yep. A boy and a girl. And ooh, good Lord.
I know that girl is something else, huh?
Yes, with her little sassy self. And I'm like, I'm used to boys. And she comes around and I'm just like, oh, I don't know what to do with all of this.
But it's the best thing ever, because you know what? That's as my nephew says, that's saucy.
Yes.
We need in our life. That's what we need. We need a little bit of a challenge here on the Edge. Brains, look who's here with me today. I can't even get this right. I can't get it focused. Lee Mariano. We're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about people things, you know? And guess what, Brains? She is the author of not one, not two, not three, but 39 books. Who does that? A brain. And, you know, I don't know how she gets to do that between, again, being the mother and a wife and a grandmother and also being the chief people officer. Chief people officer. I never heard that title before. At a cyber intelligence company, cybersecurity. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And she's also a former Marine. So Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge, Lee Mariano. Hi, baby.
Hello.
This is going to be a real good girlfriend conversation because, you know, again, we're going to be celebrating Women's History Month here in a minute. Women are trailblazers. We got the first Black mixed race vice president on the planet. I'm trying to get excited about it. Now, look, I got my support, you know, 110%. But we're so behind in the times. I mean, we got women that are running empires and running countries. And here we are, the first woman VP, and we all excited. But, you know, you got to get in when you fit in.
Yep.
And so I'm excited. And you know a little bit about fitting in because you were a former Marine. That's no joke. I used to work over at the Marine Corps, a depot here in San Diego. And they would come in there and he'd be talking all like this. Well, what's wrong with y'all's voice? Why can't y'all get some throat lozenges or something? He goes, It's froggy, ma'am. We got to tear them down before we can build them up.
Yep.
Okay. I wouldn't have lasted 15 minutes. I would have went AWOL. Okay. I would have, because I'm a marshmallow when it comes to, you know, being all up in my face and spitting and pointing and all that kind of stuff. And don't ask me to do 20 push-ups, much less 50 or 100. I've been in the brig. How did you survive that? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, it's interesting. People often will ask me, why did I choose the Marines? And honestly, I chose it because when I was thinking about going into the military, college at the time wasn't an option for me. You know, my family just didn't have the money. I didn't have the grades to get a scholarship. And so I needed a plan B. And so when I started thinking about the military, everyone was saying, well, go into the Air Force because that's where, you know, that's where you'll fit in. It's nice. It's easy. And so I actually was a bit stubborn. And I was like, well, everyone's telling me to go into the Air Force, so I'm definitely not going there. And I didn't, you know, I didn't like the Navy uniforms and the Army. Everyone went into the Army. And so I chose the Marines because not everyone could make it.
No.
Not everyone could make it in the Marines, right? And so when I had so many people telling me, oh, you know, why'd you choose Marines? That's too hard. Women can't make it in the Marines. And I was like, watch me. So that was really my motivation, right? Because people were telling me I couldn't do it. So I said, well, let me show you how I can do it. And that's why I went in. It is one of the hardest. I mean, you really have to, and as the DIs or the guys coming in with, you know, they say we have to tear them down to build them back up. That was exactly what they did. I mean, they literally broke you down and then built you back up into something else. And that was, I didn't even know like the mental, you know, the like everything, how they just break you down. Like once you go through that, you can make it through just about like anything.
Well, you know, again, because they want to break you down. Number one, they want you to be able to survive. You know, there is a code of ethics. You don't leave anybody behind. Those are your comrades.
That's right.
You fight to the death. You can't tell no secrets.
Right.
You know, whether you're a woman or not. You know, you can't tell the secrets. And again, if you have that kind of mentality, then you can forge ahead. So I get it, but I couldn't do it. I'm not going to say I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like some people are like, I don't want to, that's not for me. Like that, I don't want to experience that. I don't want to deal with that. Y'all have at it, have fun. Me, I was like, you know what? And I don't know if it was I needed to prove something to myself or to everybody else. I still haven't figured that part out. But, you know,
even and now, also, you're trained to kill.
I can kill you in 6 seconds is what I told you. With
your bare hands. With your bare hands, okay? You don't need a weapon. So
I know. And that's the thing. Yeah, I know people, you know, even today I'll tell people, yeah, I'm a former Marine and I was in, and they're like, oh, what was that like? And I'm like, I can't even tell. I can't even explain it to
you. I know, but they looking at you with a side eye now, okay? Okay, we better not mess with her, okay? But she is the chief people officer and she will take you down. So what did you do when you left the Marines?
So when I got, so in the Marines, I did court martials, I did JAG investigations, I did trademark, all that stuff. So when I got out, I actually stayed in the legal field. So I went and worked at law firms. And by that time I was here in Northern Virginia. So I was working at the Pentagon, right? So I left the Pentagon before 9/11, but I was working in the Pentagon and I got out and I stayed in the area and I worked in law firms doing, you know, management, people management, right? Because that was what I knew was the law firm and the legal side. And so I did that for years because that was my comfort zone. And then I got out of my comfort zone and I went into federal government contracting. Mm-hmm. And working in that field, which is like, it's just two completely different things. And in that government contracting is where I came into contact with cybersecurity and product management and all these other things that deal with national security and intelligence and all that stuff. So I, you know, but my Marine Corps experience actually helped me kind of survive in the corporate world, because
girl, I help you survive in the Pentagon because there's a whole bunch of trickery and stuff going there too with all of it. No, and you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a part of the job. But again, trying to run a country, like keeping secrets, folks, you know, intelligence.
Right?
It's a mind game. It's all about mind games.
It's all a mind game. And like when you're a Black woman working in an industry where I'm in charge of stuff, and you could have military people who don't want to listen. And then I moved into law firms and you got lawyers who don't want to listen. And then I moved into government contracting. You got, you know, people who didn't want to listen. And so it was like, I had to claw and fight my way every day, every single day. And it was like, honestly, they'd be like, oh, you a Marino, so you can handle this. Yeah, I can handle you and everybody else in this room. So let's get it straight.
Right. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. I got this.
But you have some challenges, you know, somewhere along the lines, you stopped and you fell in love. And what happened?
I did, you know, and it was a challenge. I like how you phrased that. It was a challenge, right? I think we're all young and we make decisions that at the time we think are best for us, but at the end of the day, they turn out to just be life-changing and not always in a good way. So I did. I fell in love and I was in a relationship, and it turned out that, you know, he wasn't the person I thought he was. And he was, you know, it became a domestic abuse situation where, you know, and here's the thing, I hid it because at the time I was ashamed to say that I, as a strong, independent Black woman,
a Marine,
had entered into this relationship where my spouse at the time was abusive, and I hid it. I didn't want to share that with anyone. right? And you get to a point, you get to a catalyst point, right? Where you have to say, how much longer am I going to do this? And what is going to happen to me if I stay? Mm. And I also had my son, my oldest son, to think about. And I had my catalyst moment where I was like, this is it, no more, right? No more. And I took the steps to say, I'm getting out of this. I took the steps to say, no more of this. Me and my son are getting the hell up out of here. And whatever happens to you with the court martial, deuces, right? I had, you know, because I had to, that was my survivor mode. I went into survivor mode and I realized that at the time, my shame that I had gotten myself into this situation impacted how long I stayed. Now, mind you, I didn't stay for very long. I didn't, you know, some people stay for longer, some people stay for shorter. Your journey is your journey, right? But when I got out, I reinvented myself because I knew that I had gone through that, but I was stronger after that experience because I knew.
Let me interject, but that just shows the tenderness and the compassion of a woman. Mm-hmm. Because again, like I said, you was a trained killer. Mm-hmm. That's what they didn't invite you there for milk and cookies.
Right, right.
And you could have taken him down at any time, mm-hmm. but you still fell victim to love.
Right.
Him to love. Right. And you still wanted to love beyond the circumstance. Mm-hmm. So I say that to you women brains out there, that there's no shame associated in it. You know, you get it when you get it.
Right.
But you got to get out too.
That's the key. You got to get out. And if you find yourself in that situation, talk to someone, right? This was 25 years ago for me. And I was, you know, again, it was a situation, right? And I look back on it now and I say, girl, you really, really? But then I also have to also think about the process, right? When you're in that tough situation, what happens is they peel away at the layers that make you you. They tear you down. They do
tear you down to build right? back up.
In their image, how they want, right? And so, you know, if you're in that situation, you know, for the women listening to this now, understand that you are not alone, that there are people out there that will help you, but you have to stand up.
That's right.
You have to stand up and you have to be prepared to get you and your children or whoever get the hell out. You have to be ready for that. And when you're ready for that, nothing will stop you That's from right. getting out. But nothing will stop you from getting it.
And yep. you gotta find that self-love and mm-hmm. you gotta be vulnerable. And you know what? You may be broke, not have no money, but somebody will help you.
Yes, they will.
You gotta tear yourself down to build yourself back up.
That's right.
So you forged ahead. So yeah, you know, here you go. And now you are again working at the Pentagon.
Yep.
You've left there and now you've gone into corporate America. Woo, what a ride.
Let me tell you something. It's like whiplash.
You're going full circle, getting all dizzy and stuff. And you fell in love again. Tell us a little bit about where you are now and what you're doing.
So I fell in love again. I've actually, my husband and I have been together since 1998. So that's 23 years.
Yes.
23 years. I had to count on my fingers. So 23 years, we had a second son. And, you know, we've actually forged a life that, you know, together as a family that I can be proud of, that I'm extremely proud of, and raising our sons. And, you know, I now have two grandbabies, but I'm also in a position where about 2009. So 12 years ago at this point, you know, I'm a voracious reader. Right? You mentioned earlier that I'm an author. I am a voracious reader and I will read until my eyes cross. My husband is Italian. So we're in an interracial marriage. So I found books that reflected my life. I didn't even know they existed. And I read as many books as I could until I got to the point where my husband said, why don't you write the type of book you want to read.
Mm.
And that was an aha moment for me. So I was like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Cause I've recreated all these stories and I have all these stories in my head. And he was like, put them, all these stories that you've been thinking about, put them out on paper and write a book. Because if you're looking for these books, then other people are looking for these books as well. Mm-hmm. And that was the journey. That was what started my writing career, right? His encouragement, his support. And as you said, at this point, I've written 39 books, right? And they're all published on Amazon. I'm a USA Today bestselling author. I'm an Amazon bestselling author. During that entire time, I went back to school and got a second degree. What? As I'm writing, I got a second degree. I, you know, went up the corporate ladder, getting those executive positions, the C-suite positions, right? And so, you know, my story is one that no matter where you may think you start, right? I, you know, my mother was a single teen mom. I was raised, you know, a fatherless daughter, where she raised me by herself. When I saw her hustle every single day, right? Where your life, what you see is what you think you should have, right? And so I wanted to break out of that mold. I wanted something different. And so, you know, my life, when you look at where I started and where I'm at now, right, it's such a difference, right? You wouldn't even think my journey would take me here. You wouldn't even think with all the twists and turns that I would be here, right? C-suite executive, kind of determining my own future, life and success coach for women who are trying to find their future, right. Best-selling author, all these things. But I can't regret it, even the bad parts of it, even, you know, 25 years ago, because if that had happened.
It's the building blocks to make you the woman who you are.
That's right.
You know, if you had not experienced those things, you know, a lot of people are like, I have a bunch of regrets. I don't have no regrets, baby, because I've lived.
Right?
I want you to know, I've had a
good, bad, or indifferent. And good, I'm still
bad, or indifferent. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. But again, those are the building blocks. So now you are helping women rebuild themselves with a coaching practice. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I help women. Actually, let me back up on that. So I had this whole 2020 vision that I had come up with in 2019. Oh, my 2020 vision is going to be amazing, right? And so I had always wanted to coach and to help other women. And initially it started as helping other women become leaders, helping them break through the glass ceiling, helping them get to that C-suite position with the faux mahogany furniture, right? That was the thing. But as I started talking to women and having these conversations, what I realized is that there was so much more that needed to happen first before they actually got that C-suite position.
Right.
These are women who were holding on to childhood trauma of not having a safe space to fail, or of, unfortunately, you know, molestation, or, you know, being told they weren't good enough, they weren't pretty enough, they weren't smart enough, like all these things that they went through, right? And then they also, you know, had these feelings of inadequacy. Many of them, of course, were Black women. They had these feelings of inadequacy of, I'm never going to get where I want to be because no one's going to allow me to do what I want. And so my focus shifted in my coaching business with my vision of, okay, leadership is the pinnacle, but they're not ready for that yet. I need to help women who are over here, who need to improve themselves. And so what I did in 2020, even though it was kind of a upside down year, you know, I launched my business. I wasn't going
right,
to stop.
To say the least, that right. was the best time to do it. You know, right? it was the perfect pause. And that's what I tell people. This is a time of reflection.
Yeah.
It's like being an artist. You have a blank canvas, baby, and you better paint a masterpiece.
That's right. Right.
You're not going to have that. You're not going to have this opportunity again. God is speaking with a megaphone.
And we need to listen.
And if you ain't listening and you don't want to go along to get along, then you're going to get lost. That's just how it is. But I'm paying attention.
Right. I'm paying attention to it. Right. I mean, you know, I could have said, oh, this year I'm not going to do nothing. I was like, no. I still, you know, I'm focused on my career still, but I need to launch this business because the women, they don't have time to wait. They don't have time for me to get my crap together. I need to do this now. And so I started, you know, I launched my business and it's focused on helping women step into their power, rediscover who they are, right? Maybe they've lost their voice along the way. Well, I'm going to help you rediscover that voice. Maybe you lost yourself in the titles that people put on you, you know, wife, mother, daughter, sister, right? That you don't even know who you are anymore.
So now it's teacher and it's nurse and it's, you know, exactly. You got all these other titles. But, you know, what is your secret sauce? Okay. And I understand that, again, you've been trained by the best, really, you know, on how to rebuild yourself. But give that woman that's listening to you right now, one or two things that she can just kind of, you know, take that mirror and look at and ask herself, what can I do? This is where I am. And this is where I want to be. What are one or two first steps that she can take?
Yeah. So I would say the first step in that would be recognizing that you do not have to clarify, justify, apologize for who you are or what you want to do with your life. You owe no one anything except for yourself. If someone questions you, if someone challenges you, if someone says, you know, why are you doing this? Because you should be doing X, Y, Z. Tell them this is your journey. This is your story. And you don't have to justify yourself to them. You just don't, right? And I think we fall into that trap a lot of wanting to negate at who we are. We want to minimize who we are because we want to make other people feel better. And I would say to any woman listening out there, stop apologizing for who you are. Don't ever apologize to someone because you're strong, because you're independent, because you cry, because sometimes you're weak, because you, you know, want to have a career that they don't understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they think. All that matters is what you want to do. And are you living the way you want to live? And if they don't understand that, then that's too bad for them. That is not your problem. That is not your problem.
And you know what? My mother is 91. I tell the story all the time. My mother doesn't apologize. For nothing. Because you know what she says? And it used to annoy me, but it is, she said that you understand your intention from the get-go. You know what you are plotting and planning.
Thank you.
You know what you're thinking. You know what you want to do. You know what you want your end result to be. She said, so why are you going to sit up there with some empty words about, I'm sorry?
No.
She said, you don't ever admit to being sorry. Sorry people are pathetic. You know, of course, you can be mindful.
Yes.
You can make corrective action.
Yes.
You can grow. You can develop. You can learn. But to be sorry?
No.
I ain't sorry.
No.
So I get it. I get it. No, I get it.
Sorry for your success. You're not sorry for what you've achieved. How can you be sorry for everything that you have done in your life that has brought you to this point? I am not sorry and I am not apologizing. And if you, other person, cannot accept that, then that is your problem and not mine. And I think we fall into that trap too much and we start, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Stop apologizing.
And you know what? A lot of times you ain't sorry.
You're not sorry.
You're just trying to say that to get somebody up off you.
That's right. You don't want people.
I was good at that. I was good in the corporate world. Oh, I apologize. I'm so sorry for that. All the time in the back of my mind, knowing I don't give a dookie.
Ain't sorry,
but what happens? That de-escalates.
It does. And that's why
you call somebody in customer service right now, and the first thing they say is they teach you empathy. Apologize, be empathetic. And then people don't know you. They don't care that your lights is cut off and you can't pay your bill. Okay. But they can be powerful words in the right context. Okay. Now I'm not trying to say that, you know,
I agree.
Be rude and disrespectful.
Right.
But understand. Mm-hmm. Understand what that means. It's like the word trust. The word trust can hold you beholden because you don't trust without a caveat. There's got to be something in conjunction with it. You know, if you, I can't trust you with my purse. Well, you know, you think somebody's going to steal from you, or I can't trust you with my children. Well, you already know what's going on. So there's a yin and a yang with that. And that's the same thing with being sorry. And so we don't want to be sorry individuals. We want to be thought provoking. We want to own it. We want to take some ownership. Talking about ownership, let's talk about your latest book. Do you have that there, girl? Let's share that with my brains. Ooh, what? Yeah. This is the Heaven on Earth series. Please tell us what's inside of that, because he got his hand all on that hip.
Yeah, so this Heaven on Earth series. So this series is, I love this series. It's actually four books involved in this series as of right now. This one has three books included, and you can purchase it on Amazon. But Heaven on Earth actually is, each story deals with a topic that I find impactful for women. So the very first story, Heaven on Earth, Escape to Heaven, is the story of the lead, the heroine who is escaping a domestic abuse situation. So it, you know, it's impactful because that was a bit of me in that story. And then the second story deals with the fallout, the family dynamics of, you know, when there is domestic violence involved. The third story deals with stalking. And the fourth story deals with single parenthood in a small town where the Black woman is has a baby by a white man. So all of the stories are interracial romance. They are, you know, they have the happily ever after, but they deal with real life situations that we as Black women sometimes go through. And how do we get through it? How do we find, our own journey? How do we find our
own? We can ask our first gentleman and our first woman vice president.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you, you know, folks are salty about that. Folks are saying, yeah, girl, they got issues with it. You know, they say she want to piggyback on the Black, but she don't, you know, but she married a white man. And you know what? You got to find love and believe and trust. She had to go through that through her own journey.
That's right.
Okay. And if she had made another choice, that would have been okay. I'm sure she kissed some frogs till she found a prince.
I'm sure she did.
And I don't have a problem with it. You know, love is love.
I think sometimes people put their own insecurities and expectations on other people. But here's the thing, just because, and I feel strongly about this as well, it doesn't matter the skin color of my husband. I know who I am. I'm a Black woman in America. I was raised this way. I can't get away from it. It's not like you can't tell who I am. And my struggles as a Black woman in corporate America, the Marine Corps, you know, everything that I've accomplished, that it is always painted with that brush of me as a Black woman living my life. Who I fall in love with, who I choose to marry, doesn't negate my Blackness. It simply means that's who I happen to fall in love with.
Let me tell you, I'm sure that it's a cultural awakening for a white man to be with a Black woman, okay? Because he's got to tighten up his bootstraps. Right. Okay, it ain't for chumps.
When I put on my bonnet at night, don't say nothing. Don't get
really, okay? When I ask you to help me take my braids out, okay?
And oh, look at me funny. Just go with it.
You're integrating your children into a multicultural thing.
Yeah.
See, now it's different. It used to be Black and white. Now it's same gender.
Yeah.
You know, now you've got, you know, two women raising a child. You got two men raising a child. Oh. Or gender identity. There's a lot of stuff going on, and the world is ever evolving. Brains, you better catch up. Because folks are still talking about that Black and white, and there's nothing that we can do about that. That's how we came into the world.
People need to move on. It's time, because this is a new world, right? And I think when we hold on to those types of things, we get stuck and we get stagnant and we can't see the world around us, and we miss out on opportunities, right? And I know I'm not a relationship coach, but here's what I tell you, women out there, single women, y'all need to look for love where it's at. And quit tripping and messing around.
Quit sex texting.
Love that.
I can't do nothing with that. I don't need to see your junk. That don't do nothing for me. Nothing. But piss me off. You know? That, or, and you know what? relationships, how to keep a man or how to keep a woman. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 36 years. Oh, baby, and I love the breeze that keeps that brother cool. I want you to know, right. Okay? Right. He wakes up every morning and says good morning to me. Yeah. He kisses me. When I do things for him, you know what he does? He says, thank you. Yeah. Just the little things. You know, buys me flowers. You know, tells me I'm beautiful when I got the bonnet on or I'm taking my braids out.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, that's like... Okay.
You know, yes. It's the simple things. I cook him dinner. You know, I see he's had a hard day. Baby, let me take your shoes off and rub your feet.
Right.
It's not a whole lot.
No.
It's not a whole lot, you know, and it is a discipline. It's a discipline, but there's a love there. And when you love somebody, when you truly love somebody, you are going to do everything and anything you can to make them happy because that makes you happy.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And it's, you need to do these big grand gestures and like, no, you just don't need to forget who you are. Right. You don't need to lose yourself and your partner, but you need to understand that when you find someone that's soulmate, right? And sometimes you're going to kiss some frogs and sometimes you're going to go through it, right? You're going to go through it, right?
Girl, but
when you find your one, that's where it's easy. It's comfortable. You wake up, like you said, you know, he'll say, oh, you know, baby, you're so beautiful. Are you really with this bonnet? Moment, rip, huh? You know, but I appreciate him because he recognizes me as his wife.
It's heart-centered. It's heart-centered. He sees the beauty outside of the shell.
Exactly.
Outside of the shell. And it's, you know, and it's a lot, but that takes work and it takes maturity and a willingness. You know, and people just don't have it in the world right now. But again, like I said, we got this blank canvas and it's time to paint a masterpiece. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I want them to do a little bit more deep diving. I want them to purchase one of them 39 amazing books. You got to send me one so I can sit here and read.
I'm going to send you one that's like, you know, either this one or some other ones.
Send it to me, girl, because I'm ready to read. I've been doing that. I told you I've been binging on my Netflix. So, again, I'm so glad that this cotton picking pundits and opinions and all that kind of stuff is off the TV. It was giving me an ulcer.
Yes, I'm so done with that. I am so ready for just a lighthearted something.
Lighthearted something. So but tell me how to get in contact with you.
Absolutely. So so if you're interested in reading one of my books, you can look me up on Amazon, Rihanna Mallory. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, but you can look me up right on Amazon and you can look at all my books and see which ones you're interested in. They are all romance, they are all steamy. So make sure you are ready to you know, get the fan going when you read some of my books. But I write about love. I write about love, and that is the focus of my books. But if you're interested in talking to me further about my coaching and what I do on that front, you can reach me on Facebook at Alexa Dom Coaching. That is my business page. You can look me up, Lee Mariano, right? And just reach out and let me know you saw me here with On the Edge. And then you, right? or you can, woohoo, hello brains. or you can look me up as Alexa Dom Coach on Instagram and Twitter as well. But I am absolutely welcome to hearing from all of you. And I would love to work with you if you are looking for someone to partner with you on just really leveling up your life and stepping into your power. That is what I am all about.
Or if you need to be towed down to be built back up.
Built back up. I can help you with that. We're going to peel back the layers. We're going to peel back the layers.
It's going to be a big old onion.
and understand what's going on with you. And we're going to then get you back to where you need to be.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, my sister. I love you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough.
Thank you so much. This has been so great.
All right. And we will, brains, you know what you need to do? Subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, I don't know why. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations. We got over 800. Who's doing that? Brains. So again, I appreciate you and come on back. Talk to me, talk to my family of brains. You know, men, you can use this too so you can get into the psyche of your woman. Make your house a happy home.
Okay.